الحمد لله وكفى، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مثل ما ينفق في هذه الحياة الدنيا كمثل ريح فيها صر أصابت حرث قوم ظلموا أصابت حرث قوم ظلموا أنفسهم فأهلكته. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. Today we will do inshallah ayat number 117 surah Ali Imran, and this ayah, first we will do the translation and then we will go on to do the tafsir of this Mubarak ayah. مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and the example of what they spend in this worldly life, كَمَثَلِ رِيحٍ, is the example of a wind, فِيهَا صِرٌ, which has chills in it, أَصَابَتْ حَرْسَ, and it strikes the tillage of those قَوْمٍ ظَلَمُوا, those who have wronged themselves. So قَوْمٍ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, those who have wronged themselves, فَأَهْلَكَتْهُ, and destroyed it. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ, and Allah has not wronged them, Allah has not oppressed them, وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ, rather they have oppressed themselves. In this Mubarak ayah, Allah Ta'ala mentions the kuffar and their spending in this world. When they spend in this world, and by spending it means spending on good things, like spending to help others, like spending to, spending in helping others, spending in those works which are of benefit to others. All these spending in the path, spending in a good way in this world, their example of that spending in this world is the example of a wind that blows on a tillage and destroys the tillage. So now Allah Ta'ala is giving an example. In a nutshell, what it means is when they spend, it is of no use. They don't get benefit, they don't get reward in the eyes of Allah. And the parable that Allah is using, the example that Allah is using, is that when the wind blows and the wind is very chilly, it is very cold, and when it comes on the tillage is when the agriculture grows, when it comes on the harvest, it destroys the harvest. Now generally, when you have a harvest, generally people benefit from the harvest, but the kuffar, they do not benefit from their harvest. Their harvest is destroyed. There is no benefit for them. So Allah is saying that when they spend on good deeds, it does not get them reward. When the kuffar, they spend on good deeds, there is no reward for them. Why is there no reward for the kuffar? Why is iman a very big condition for the acceptance of spending in the path of benefiting others or spending on good deeds. And the reason why, it is because if you do not accept Allah as your Lord, then Allah does not accept that which you do to benefit others. Now, this was explained by a friend of ours. He said to another friend of his who asked the same question, that if I don't have Iman and I spend such and such amount of money to help others, I will get no reward. And that person explained to him that first, let me tell you what the ayah of the Quran says. And the ayah of the Quran says, فَلَا نَقِيمُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنَا. That on that day of judgment, there will be no weight of the good deeds that they do. So there will be no weight of the good deeds of the kuffar on the day of judgment. Why? Because they did not believe in Allah. They did not believe in God. They did not accept the truth which was all over, which was so obvious. So the first thing is Iman. And if you don't have Iman, all the good deeds are of no use. That is why the value of Iman is such that in a hadith it comes that on the day of judgment there will be a person in whose books of deed there will be no good deeds, only bad deeds, and that's it. And when there will be, when his deeds will be weighed on the scale of bad deeds will go down because there will be nothing on the scale of good deeds. So then he will be very, very fearful. Then he will see a small piece of paper, and that small piece of paper will come flying and will settle on the side of the good deeds, on the scale where the good deeds are being weighed. And when the small piece of paper will sit on that scale will go down, and the scale of bad deeds will be less in weight. And when this man will look at what this deed is, which has so much weight that it has made all my bad deeds look less heavier. And when he will look at that piece of paper, it will say, La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah. That means that he will only have Iman, and that Iman will be more valuable than all of the bad deeds that he's done. So Iman is the first condition for the acceptance of your good deeds. So there was an engineer who explained to another engineer, because engineers sometimes they understand things in math. So he said, okay, let me tell you something. If you write 1 and you add a 0 to that 1, what does it become? He said 10. And he said, if I add another 0, he said it becomes 100. He said, if I add another 0, he said it becomes 1,000. And he said, if I add another 0, he said it becomes 10,000. And another 0, he said it becomes 100,000. And if I add another 0, he said it becomes 1,000,000. Then he said, what if I remove that 1? If I remove just 1, what does it become now? He said it becomes 0. So then he said, and value of all other deeds is the value of these zeros. If you don't have that 1, all these zeros will be 0. And if you have that 1 in the beginning, then you have millions. So the first and foremost condition for the acceptance of what you spend on others, what you spend on good deeds, What you spend helping others is iman. But this is not it. There are other conditions for the acceptance of spending on others. And this is also very important. Because in the eyes of the scholars, there are four rules for the acceptance of the wealth that you spend on others, so that this wealth that you spend on others is accepted by Allah. And the first one is iman. If you have iman, this is the first condition. And the second condition is sincerity, ikhlas. That you must only and only spend for the sake of Allah, and no other intention should be in there. So there's a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Innamal a'malu bin niyat." That your actions are according to your intentions. If your intention is to please Allah, then your action has a reward. And if your action does not include pleasing Allah, if your action, the intention behind the action is not pleasing Allah, then there is no reward. In fact, in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who worships Allah so that he can show to other people, so he can show off to other people, that person has committed shirk. Allahu Akbar. So that means when you spend in the path of Allah, the only intention there should be is to please Allah. So in the books there is a story of a king, a Muslim king, who made a very beautiful masjid. And he spent a lot of money on this masjid. And this masjid was so beautiful and it was so big, and it was like everybody was talking about this masjid, that what a beautiful masjid the king has made. Finally, when the masjid was ready, the king said that I would like that my name should be written next to the door of the masjid, so that people should know that I was the one who made this masjid. Now, he wrote down his name on a plate and he placed it right next to the door of the masjid. When he slept that night, he saw that the plate he placed next to the door of the masjid, on that plate there was a name written of some woman, and it was not his name. So when he woke up, he was surprised. What was that? And then he thought to himself that, you know, this is just a dream, nothing else. But when he slept again the next night, he saw that same dream. And he saw the name of that same woman on that plate. And he was kind of surprised. And he kept on thinking about this the whole day, and it didn't stop there. The next night when he went to sleep, he saw this same plate with the name of that same woman, the plate on which he wrote his name. In his dreams, he would see that the name of the woman is written. Now he becomes very, very concerned. So when he woke up, he decided that there must be some woman whom Allah is indicating that she is the one who made this masjid. So he woke up and he told all of his men that this is the name of a woman who lives around the masjid. Go and find who is this woman. When his men, they looked around, they found that it was an old woman who was very, very poor. She had nothing and she was very old. But she had that name which was written on the plate. So when they found that woman, they told the king that, you know, this woman lives, you know, close to the masjid. She's a very old woman. She's a very poor woman. She cannot have a role in making this madras. She doesn't have the money to feed herself. So the king said, no, I have to meet this woman. So the king met this woman. And when he met her, he asked her, that did you spend any money in the making of this masjid? She said, no, I don't even have enough to feed myself. How can I spend on this beautiful, huge, humongous masjid that you've made? So the king said, okay, is there any other way that you have helped in making this masjid? She said, no, I am such a poor woman. I have nothing that I can do to help. The king said, no, just think, maybe you've helped in some way or the other. She said, yeah, well, sometimes these donkeys would come with all these, you know, things that you need to make this masjid. Your donkeys, they will be, you know, they will have all these cement and all these stones on them, and they will come with all this material that is being used to make this masjid. And when they would pass by my small house, I would look at them and they will be, they looked very, very thirsty. So sometimes I would just give them water to drink. These donkeys, I would just give them water. This I have done for many days. And then the king said that your this deed of this giving water to these donkeys who are bringing the material to the masjid is more accepted in the eyes of Allah than my making the whole masjid and spending so much in making this masjid. So the rule is that Allah will only and only accept the deed which is done for the sake of Allah. So if you spend in the path of Allah, that only and only intention should be that this is to make Allah happy. Sometimes we have the intention of making Allah happy, but then we add other intentions as well. And there should not be any other intention except for making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Jiska amal ho be gharaz, uski jaza kuch aur hai. So the mashayikh, they would do good deeds, the sahaba would do good deeds, but after doing the good deeds, they would still fear Allah and they would cry sometimes. And people would ask them, that why are you crying? And they would say that we've done this good deed, but we don't know how pure our intention is. Allah can still reject our good deed if He finds impurities in our intention. So purifying the intention is very important. So four conditions of acceptance of spending in the path of Allah or spending on good deeds. One is Iman. If you don't have Iman, not accepted by Allah. Second is sincerity. It should be only for the sake of Allah. There should not be any other intention other than making Allah happy. And the third and very important condition for the acceptance of spending in good deeds is that when you spend on others, you should not expect a favor from those on whom you spend. So Allah Ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal aza. That, oh, you believe, don't destroy your spending, destroy your sadaqat by giving, by showing that you've done a favor to others. And by giving, you know, by giving a loss to others, or by بالمن والأذى, by treating others badly. So sometimes this happens, that when we spend, when we give something to others, we expect that now they should become like our slaves, or now at least they should treat us differently. And whenever I should ask them for something, they should be ready. So there are people who do spend a lot, but then because of this, this good deed is completely destroyed. So when you spend on others, you should not expect a favor in return. So sometimes we help our family members, sometimes we help our relatives. Now because we've spent on them, now we expect that, you know, they will always show a favor to us. They will always think of us as right. Even if we are wrong, they will always be on our side, even if we are doing something wrong. This expectation is again destroying this spending, because we are helping others not because of others. We are helping others because of Allah. And the mashayikh, they teach their students that spending should only and only be for the sake of Allah, and one should not expect a favor in return. So Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanautvi rahimahullah was in his masjid, and somebody came, one of his students came, and he tried to give him some money as gift. Now, when he was giving this money as gift, the Sheikh felt that this man is such a person who, when he will give this money, he will then in return expect that I will always, talk good about him, and I will always praise him in front of other people. So this was the expectation of the person who was giving him some money. And because he was the Sheikh, and the Sheikh has to point out to the wrongdoings of the of his students. So now the Sheikh thought that if I'll take this gift from him, I will not be able to correct his wrongdoing. So what the Sheikh did was, the Sheikh said that I do not accept your gift. He was surprised that this has never happened, that I've given a gift to any sheikh or any alim or any scholar, and he has returned it back. So as soon as the sheikh returned it back to him, he went on thinking that why did the sheikh return it back to me? And as he thought and thought, he came to the conclusion that the reason why the sheikh has given this back to me is because I expect a favor in return. And what is that favor? That I expect that the Sheikh is going to praise me in front of other people. And the Sheikh is going to become, very humble in front of me. And Sheikh has read this, that this is the intention inside of my heart. This is what I intend. So I expect a favor in return. And if I expect a favor in return for spending on others, then my spending on others will earn me no reward. So the Sheikh has returned it to me. So now he realized his mistake. So finally he said to the Sheikh, "Sheikh, please accept it." But the Sheikh did not accept. So finally he went outside of the masjid and he placed the money in the Sheikh's shoes. And when the Sheikh came out and he put his feet in his shoe, he realized that there was some money inside the shoes. So he took the money out and he said to his friends who were there, "Look, there's money under my feet. And I've heard from my teachers that when you kick the world is going to come under your feet." So whenever you have an intention that you expect a favor in return for spending on others, for doing, for helping others, then that also does not lead to the acceptance of that spending. So four conditions of spending on others, four heavy, heavy rules to get acceptance in the eyes of Allah when you spend on others. The first one is Iman. And the second one is sincerity, that you should only spend for the sake of Allah. And the third one is that you should not expect a favor in return. And the fourth one, and that is very important. The fourth one is that the more secretly you spend without letting anyone know, the more reward there is for spending. So in a hadith it comes that on the Day of Judgment, there will be no shade. And the sun will be so close that people will be in a lot of distress because of the heat of the sun. But there will be seven types of people who will get the shade of the throne of Allah. They will not be in distress. And among those seven, there will be one who spends in such a way, who gives others, who helps others in such a way that it is so secret that when he spends it with his right hand, even his left hand doesn't know. So this is just an example that he spends it very, very, very secretly. So the more secretly you spend, the more the value of this spending becomes. Abu Umair Mujahid rahimahullah was a very big sheikh of his time, a very, very big scholar of his time as well. The way Allah had given him a lot of ilm, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of amal, in the same way Allah had given him a lot of wealth as well. He was one of the richest people of his country. Now there was a famine in the country, and the king was very concerned that people will lose their lives if I don't help them. So the king asked the rich people of the country to donate some amounts so that the poor could be helped. And among those people the king requested for help, for donations, one of them was Abu Umair Mujahid, the big sheikh, the big scholar. And the scholar also realized that this is a time to help others, and he didn't hold back his wealth. He gave 200,000 dinars. And dinar at that time was a gold coin. So he gave 200,000 gold coins. And some other rich people also helped. And there was enough that the famine was tackled. And the poor people had enough to move on or to live, you know, a comfortable life. When all of this process was completed, the king wanted to thank all these rich people. So he invited them over to his palace. And he invited Abu Umair Mujahid rahimahullah as well. And when the dinner was going on, the king said that I am very thankful to all of you. You helped me in this time of need, and you've helped our people, and you've been a very, very cooperative, and all these words of thanks. And then he mentioned the names of those who have spent a lot. And he mentioned even the name of Abu Umair Mujahid, that he gave 200,000 dinars. Allahu Akbar. But as soon as he said this, Abu Umair Mujahid rahimahullah, he said to the king that, oh my lord, I have only one problem, that I have given you this 200,000 dinars, but these 200,000 dinars, they don't belong to me, they belong to my parents, and I didn't take their permission. So now I need them back. As soon as he said, I need these back, Allahu Akbar. Everybody was shocked. What? After giving donation, he's now asking for this donation back. And the king also became all very quiet. And people started saying, what type of a pious man he is. Look, he donated and now he wants it back. And people started saying the bad things about Abu Umair Mujahid Rahimah. The king also was very sad. So finally the king said, okay, fine. You come to me tomorrow and I'll pay you back. And you come to my palace tomorrow. And we'll pay you back and we'll somehow manage this. And I didn't expect this from you. And especially if you're such a scholar and such a pious man, how could you do this? And at this point, the whole party was disturbed, so the party ended. And everybody left. The next day, Abu Umair Mujahid Rahimullah, he went to the king's palace, and the king had 200,000 dinars ready to give back to him. And he said to the sheikh, this is your money, take this money back. And he said, well, there's one thing that I need to tell you, my lord. And that thing is that yesterday, when I said to you that I didn't take permission from my parents, the reason why I didn't take the permission was that I already had permission from them. So I didn't need to take permission from them. And the reason why I told you that I need this money back is because I didn't want anyone to know that I have donated this amount. Now everybody thinks that I have not donated this amount. And I only desire this shade of the throne of Allah on the Day of Judgment. So now I give you this 200,000 dinars back. Allah. So the more secretly you spend, the more the value of the spending in the path of Allah is. So there are four very important rules of spending in the path of Allah. And to get you whatever you spend, to get reward for that spending. And the first rule is that you need to have iman. You have to believe in Allah. And the second thing is that you have to be sincere. It should be only and only for the sake of Allah. And the third thing is that when you spend on others, you should not expect a favor in return. Then the fourth and very important thing, that the more secretly you spend, the more the reward is. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that I swear upon Allah that when you give sadaqah, when you spend on others, it does not decrease your wealth. And in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah returns it back 10 times, sometimes 100 times, and sometimes 700 times, and sometimes even more. Allah. So what Allah has given us, we should spend from that on others. Allah is going to give us more. This is how it works. And when we spend on others, we are telling Allah by our actions that, oh Allah, we don't love this wealth. We love you. And then Allah Ta'ala gives us, returns us back many, many times. So these are the rules of spending. That is why Allah Ta'ala says that those who did not have iman when they spend, the spending does not bring them anything. It is like a destroyed harvest. And those who have iman, when they spend, they have a harvest that is going to give them benefit. So Allah Ta'ala gives the example of harvest for people who spend and they have no iman, theirs is a destroyed harvest. So this is where we come and end the class. I will do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, I will do the translation of the ayah one more time. مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And the example of those who spend in the life of this world, كَمَثَلِ رِيحٍ. It is the example of the wind. فِيهَا سِرٌّ, which is very cold, which has chills in it. أَصَابَتْ حَرْسَ قَوْمٍ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And it strikes, the tillage strikes the harvest of those who have wronged themselves. فَأَهْلَكَتْهُ, and it destroys the harvest. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ, and Allah has not wronged them. وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ, and they have wronged themselves. And we stop here, and we will make dua inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. I just have one small thing to say to our students here today. We didn't have the multimedia setup. We will try in the next class to have the multimedia setup as well, inshallah. Jazakumullah. This is the first time I am doing this from my own room in my house because of the lockdown. Inshallah, from next week, we'll try to have the multimedia set up as well. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.